You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev, the number one Chevrolet dealer in Canada since 2015, based on Dealer Raider's customer review site. Stop in, say hi right now. 20% off MSRP cash credit on select vehicles. That's Lakewood Chev.
We joined every Monday by Kevin Lee from In Goal Magazine. Kevin, were you in the clubs and the bars when Snap the Power was at its peak?
I believe so. I believe that it's actually a good thing that we didn't run the intro too long today, boys, because I was a couple seconds away from running out and getting a piece of cardboard and laying it down and showing my kids some old moves that would have horrified them. So,
well, you're a goalie, so I imagine you're a pretty good breakdancer then.
Yeah, no. Okay. Anything that requires rhythm. Give me the mechanics of goaltending and I'm fine. Give me something that requires any type of free flow, rhythm, or the ability to manage a beat, and I'm pretty much screwed. So
you sound a lot like Jason Strudwick will join us at 3 o'clock. He says he's a good dancer. You're at least admitting you're not a good dancer, though.
Oh, I would never pretend to be. Lest anyone ever ask me to prove it, we'd be in trouble.
All right, Kevin, let's get down to business. A couple things I want to get to. First, let's start with last week. Henrik Lundqvist said he's recovered from the injury he received in the World Championships. Now, he says he'll be ready to go for training camp. But if you're the New York Rangers, how, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, how nervous are you that a 35-year-old goaltender is coming back from a knee injury? And are you at all concerned about that?
Yeah, I mean, you take him for his word. Although anytime you get injured outside of team competition, you're going to, the natural tendency is to downplay it. I think if I'm the Rangers, I'm a little more nervous about my situation in terms of being able to manage his rest this year. Andre Pavelec is not Antti Raanta. And I'm, honestly, that's one of the ones, to me, potentially the most fascinating off-season acquisitions or decisions in terms of going to a backup is Pavelec, because he was somewhat resistant to modernizing his game in Winnipeg, not totally, but somewhat. And now you've got him with Benoit Laire, who, whether it's Henrik Lundqvist, Cam Talbot, or even a smaller Antti Raanta, has had a lot of success by getting guys to play deeper. And that's something that Pavelec was somewhat resistant to in Winnipeg. He took strides back in his crease, but never fully committed to it. And as a result of being aggressive and some other technical deficiencies, he's a fantastic athletic goaltender, but he continuously put himself in a situation where he had to rely on it far too heavily and far too often. And behind a defense in Winnipeg that wasn't great at bailing out second chance opportunities, that'll improve for him. But if you're the Rangers, you need that transition for Pavelec to happen really fast, because you don't want to get into a situation where you lose that trust early and you have to overplay, as you said, not only an aging Henrik Lundqvist, but a Henrik Lundqvist coming off an injury. You do get nervous about knee injuries because they tend to be MCL for goaltenders most of the time, and they tend to nag and linger and last. Obviously, if he's comfortable enough with his training to be back on the ice, which we've seen through Instagram and whatnot, that bodes well. But I've also dealt with guys like Ryan Miller, who, a couple of years ago missed a long stretch of time because of an MCL injury, came back and actually played at the end of the playoffs for the Vancouver Canucks. But then when I caught up with him in the summer, he said he wasn't fully recovered. So he was good enough to come back and play, but not fully recovered until 6 months after the injury. And if you kind of project what that 6 month window would be like for Henrik Lundqvist to really be, fully recovered, I don't think we're in a situation where you want to have to overwork that guy early in the season and risk an aggravation or a setback.
We're joined by Kevin Willey from In Goal Magazine, going around the NHL talking netminders. Kevin, do the Rangers have a plan for life after Henrik Lundqvist? You mentioned he's 35 years old. Have they started maybe planning an exit strategy when he can't handle the workload anymore?
Well, I mean, I think they've planned for, the expansion draft, they didn't lose Raanta to that, but I was surprised they were willing to deal him outside of that, just because they have stressed and talked about the importance of not overworking Henrik Lundqvist. So, in some ways, that has been, recognition and a plan in terms of how we deal with an aging Henrik Lundqvist, but that move certainly didn't match that intent. As far as the future, there's been some hit and miss prospects there. And you saw them, you know, Mackenzie Skapski, for instance, who played two games as a rookie a couple of years ago, won them both, played very well against a pretty bad Buffalo Sabres team at the time, admittedly, but they walked away from him in the summer, didn't re-sign him at all. So the depth chart there is, you know, it's not as deep as you might like, and yet I don't think the window to have the next number one is on them for a couple more years. I think for them it's more about making sure they've got a guy who can give Lundqvist rest. And so hopefully in a couple of years you've got a young guy that can play 25 games for a couple of seasons and work his way up to that role. Because if you had that guy right now, the question would be, can you hold on to him long enough, much like, say, a Cam Talbot, or you're going to have to let him go before Lundqvist is ready to move on. So it's all about sort of, I hate to say, kind of filling a gap or just plugging a hole, but for them it really is right now, because if you have a real top young prospect and he's ready to go in the NHL right now, I mean, within 2 or 3 years, he's ready to be a number one, arguably somewhere else, and Henrik's still there. So I think for them, get through this year with Pavlik, and hopefully within the next 2 or 3 years, you've got that guy ready to start breaking into the NHL and work his way into more starts and ultimately replacing Henrik Lundqvist. And that whoever that kid is, he better not just be a good goalie, but he better be pretty mentally strong, because coming in behind the King is not going to be an easy task for anyone, both in terms of expectations in that marketplace and presence in that marketplace.
One of the last goalies to actually be behind Henrik Lundqvist was Cam Talbot. He, of course, is now with the Edmonton Oilers. And Dustin Schwartz, the goaltending coach for the Oilers, we had him on last week. He's been appointed the WHL goaltending consultant. But we asked him about, you know, working with Cam Talbot. This is going to be year three for those two working together. We all know what Talbot did last year, winning 42 games, a GF 2.39, a save percentage of just under 920. Looking at kind of those two kind of rise up together in the NHL, what are you expecting in year three from Schwartz and Cam Talbot? Like, can Cam Talbot possibly be better than he was in 16-17?
I mean, there's always little areas of improvement you look for. You know, not having any specifics, but I think just that relationship being 1 year deeper, I think last year they found a way to work together. I mean, they just got to a point where they kind of know what each other expects, and Dustin knows what Cam needs on a day-to-day basis. They've got a nice formula. If you walk through their morning skates and the way Dustin runs each one and is the shooter for each, you know, as they kind of go through their routine early with him as the shooter, a lot of focus on cradles and tracking and just, you know, early set, early angle, early position and everything coming at him to help him kind of, you know, feel like everything's coming at him. He's not reaching on anything. You know, with time, those relationships just tend to get stronger and stronger. And as you build that trust, if there is something new or something that you maybe think you might need to tweak, it becomes easier to do so because the buy-in's just that much quicker. The ability as a coach to know when to push and when to back off is kind of automatic. You don't have to go searching for things there. You can read off your guy that much easier and that much better. And you know, like I said, I had the pleasure of getting to watch Dustin work at Hockey Canada's Program of Excellence camp in June, and the Oilers have a good one. I mean, like, just a real, real good coach there. And talking to him a little bit about how that relationship is growing, I don't see any step back. I don't know that I don't have specifics in terms of what Talbot needs to change, but if there are some, you've got a great relationship there, you know, with which to kind of change them. And last year was a challenge too, because there wasn't a lot of that time. And talking to coaches all around the league, it was really hard. It was more about survival and maintenance. And I think with a more relaxed, less condensed schedule this year, there might be a little more time in order to maybe introduce slight tweaks and changes, a little more goalie practice time this season than maybe in past years.
We're joined by Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. Kevin, I know you've been on the ice the last couple weeks. Training camp is about 4 or 5 weeks away for most NHL teams, but a lot of goalies are getting back on the ice. Are they already in full training mode, or are they still kind of shaking the rust off getting ready for main camp in 6 weeks?
Everybody's kind of different, but, I mean, the guys I saw, you know, most of them had already been on the ice for a little while, and I would argue are in full training mode. I'll be curious. Be up in Kelowna again this weekend. Have a chance to see Carey Price up there. We'll spend the day with him on Sunday for the Day with Carey Price event that we sponsor along with Eli Wilson goaltending. So it'll be interesting to see where he's at. But yeah, to be honest with you, by this point, most guys are pretty much on top of their games. The rust is shaking off. If they're working on any changes, they've usually started by now. It's, you know, pretty much just a matter of kind of maintenance and maybe building a little bit physically in terms of off the ice and that work and making sure everything's ready to go full bore once they hit camp. But, you know, by the time we get into mid-August here, there shouldn't be a lot of rust left. Maybe there's some fine work details that, you know, to kind of round off the final little edges once they get into camp and get in with their goalie coaches. But most guys are working with goalie coaches in the summer. Most guys aren't leaving it that long. Most guys are ahead of the curve and trying to move forward by this point, not waiting for camp to start that process.
And we ask every single week, Kevin, is there an update on the new goalie gear for the upcoming season, or is it going to be status quo heading into training camp?
It's going to be status quo heading into training camp. I mean, it's, you know, frankly, it's just too late at this point to introduce any radical changes. I don't, you know, there may be a few tweaks within the existing lines, but from what I see right now, I'm not even sure that's going to happen. And I think if there is a change that's at all significant, and I've said it many times, I don't see there being a dramatic, noticeable change possible without a complete rebuild of sort of what a chest and arm looks like and how it's designed. Like, and that would have to take place sort of almost outside the industry as it exists now and kind of build a new template, so to speak. Short of that happening, any changes I think you're going to see are actually going to be hard to see. They're not going to be significant. They're going to be rounding of edges that were squared. They're going to be tightening around the elbows of the square elbow box and maybe rounding that off. But there's just not a ton to take away before we get into safety concerns. And so to me, what we'll be curious is if they do have changes they want to make and they are willing to do it mid-season, do they do a dry run in the American Hockey League? Or do they just, like last year, here's a date, you got to have it in play in the NHL by this one, and everybody's in the same boat. Talking to a couple of AHL and top prospects that have been on the ice with over the last little while, I mean, they're not thrilled at the idea. And again, nobody's committed to this. I'm not sure it's the way it will happen. It wasn't the way it happened with the Pants. But they're not thrilled with the idea of being guinea pigs with the chest and arm. In other words, the NHL guys don't want to get hurt, so let's see if you guys do first. There's a lot of top prospects that really don't want anything to do with that. And yet the irony, of course, is last year it went the other way, where the NHL guys were first. The American Hockey League guys didn't even have, in many cases, their smaller pants. And I know of at least one who got called up to the NHL after the change, still hadn't worn his American Hockey League, the new pants in the American Hockey League, because he just didn't have them. The manufacturers were still trying to catch up. And he made he played a rare NHL game for him, which is obviously important to his career, wearing those pants for the first time. Had a couple practices and right in. So, you know, not having it ready to go like a month ago means that no matter which way it happens now, it won't be an ideal situation. My bet is it'll be similar to last year, where they give them a date, they get the product, again, not radically altered. There is one company right now that has something that they think is a little smaller and is good enough to meet whatever new rule changes are coming, but even they're not certain of those rule changes. So I think it'll be much like last year. Small tweaks. Here's the date. Get your samples to them in time and make sure they're ready to switch by that date.
And the last one for you, Kevin, would the new jerseys have any type of effect on goalie gear? I know they're going to be a little bit tight, a little bit more streamlined, or is that just a whole big deal based on nothing?
No. You know, I haven't. It's funny. I actually saw the new jerseys on the ice with a guy last year who had one, and it was noticeably tighter. Yeah, hey, listen, anything that snugs things up and visually makes you look a little smaller or has less material to sort of catch a loose puck. And the difference between something you get a piece of trickling down the back of your leg versus getting stuck up in the jersey and maybe giving you that extra second to squeeze it, absolutely, that can make a difference. Where I think the New Jersey might help is, you know, I talked about the changes in the chest and arm probably being somewhat minor to the naked eye, is maybe it'll make it more noticeable if they're a little more shrink-wrapped. Of course, the irony, and I hear this from a lot of goaltenders, I heard about the pants too, the irony of tightening everything up is, in a day and age where the catchphrase everyone seems to want to hear in terms of what they want out of their goaltenders is more athleticism, and I think that's quite often mistaken for basically more diving, more flailing, because the truth is it takes an incredible amount of athleticism to put yourself in position, and position is what stops pucks these days. Tightening things up and basically putting them, I talked about, you know, wearing skinny jeans with the new pants, tightening up the chest and arm and restricting mobility, if anything, and could alter the ability to throw out flashy glove saves and the type of saves that people seem to want to see more of out of their goaltenders. I don't think significantly enough to make a difference, but there's enough irony that I think a lot of guys have felt it's worth pointing out.
Kevin, thanks for your time, and we will chat next week. Appreciate you joining me.
Perfect. Thanks, Mark. Talk to you soon.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com.